efforts to send our own across all the world to make Christ's name known where it is not known, and to plant healthy churches there and to support them. And these missions trips, these short-term mission trips, are just a part of that greater work that the church is about doing in the world, that God is doing through his church in the world. And I just think of Psalm 67, which has been a great psalm for our Sunday school class on missions here in the last quarter. And I want to read that before we get started tonight. And we'll pray, and then we'll sing a couple of songs, and then hear from, well, first you see Matt, and then you'll hear from some of our missions teams. Psalm 67 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." That is exactly what we pray today, that all the ends of the earth would fear the Lord. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for tonight. We just thank you for the opportunity we have to come together as a body and to just rejoice together with those missions teams that have gone to various parts of the world and have been a part of different ministries that are sharing Christ with people who do not know him. And God, we just help us to have open ears and ready hearts to hear the things that these teams will share. And Lord, just pray that you would bless our time together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. I want to welcome you all to our missions night tonight. I want to start by reading from Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." So tonight we're going to hear from four different groups of people who willingly answered God's call to be the beautiful feet that carry the good news of salvation overseas during the past spring. Coda is supposed to share first, but I told him it was 7 o'clock a couple weeks ago, and then I assumed he might have seen that in an email that came. So he's just 10 minutes away, so he will be sharing about his trip to Cuba when he gets here. So we're going to hear from Abby Miller, first of all. She's going to share about her time in Honduras, and then Andrew Atkins and Aaron Young will share about their time in London. And then Amy Grace and Eden LaCrone, Luke and John Gartner, and Daniel Young will share about their missions to Costa Rica. And then we'll have Coda go last about his trip to Cuba. So, Abby.
Hello, everyone. Was not expecting to go first. This is kind of fun. Like you said, my name is Abigail, and the last time you saw me up here, it was to inform you all of an upcoming global outreach trip to Honduras. And tonight, I have the pleasure of sharing with you the amazing way the Lord showed his glory through the trip. So the team left Cedarville around 1 a.m. and arrived in Honduras about 3 p.m. that same day. And we stayed in the city of San Pedro Sula for about one day just to get settled and ready to start heading to different villages to do medical clinics. While we were traveling, we came across many bumps in the road. Like when we came into customs, we had to say we were there purely for tourism, and we had to say that our final destination was San Pedro Sula when it in fact was not. And that was just so that we would have an easier time coming into the country and so that the authorities were not trying to keep us in the airport for extra questioning. And we were also coming in during an election season, and so the authorities were just really on high alert all around. And we were also a team of only women, and many of us had only been traveling out of the country, and that was actually their first time going out of the country. So there was a lot of ways that we were nervous going into Honduras, but the Lord protected us throughout our entire time there, and it was just such a blessing that He offered not only opportunities for us to come in safely, but also different people that helped us get from America to Honduras safer. The man on the right was the organizer who worked with Medical Missions International. He was the reason the trip ran so smoothly. The minute we got into Honduras, every single plan that we had laid down completely changed. And so he was very patient and strong through that entire time. I think one of the biggest hurdles to overcome was I mentioned in the previous time I was up here that we were traveling to a city further in Honduras called Corquín, but 3 days before the trip was supposed to happen, a new mayor was elected, and he shut down the project. So we had to completely change where we were going, and he was able to not only organize completely new areas to set up the clinic in 3 days, but he was able to communicate with us, and it was just amazing to see how the Lord can use trials and blessings in order to spread the gospel. And then the man on the left, I think I'm saying, yes, the left, he was our bus driver, and we literally could not have done anything without him because driving in Honduras is not for the weak, and he was able to get us to and from every clinic on roads that were definitely not safe for many cars to be on, and he also just made sure that we were calm as we were traveling because at one point, we actually were stopped by the police, and they boarded the bus and asked for all of our passports, and he was able to just make sure that the police weren't too harsh on us and that we understood what was going on, and so just seeing how the Lord can put people in the trips in order to plan for different trials and bumps in the road was just so cool to see. We also had a team of translators who worked so closely with us, and they were so amazing. They became like older brothers to all the girls on the trips. Not only were they translating for us in a very kind of intense setting sometimes, we had a lot of people coming in who this was their first time getting any medical treatment, so we had to hear a lot of heartbreaking stories, and our translators had never worked in a medical setting before, and so they were able to not only stay strong for us, but effectively translate for us so that we could get the care they needed. And they also became kind of like our bodyguards as we were going around, because whenever we were anywhere in Honduras, they were there because we had no idea what anyone was saying, and so they were able to make sure that traveling went really smoothly, and if there were any threatening patients or just people around, they were able to settle the situation quickly. And then we also worked closely with a team of doctors as well, and those doctors really just have my heart because a lot of them had to leave their families for a week, and they had to travel great distances to be with us, and they were also doing all of this without getting paid at all. So they were giving up a week of pay, which in Honduras is a pretty big deal because the area is pretty poverty-stricken, and so the fact that the Lord laid on their hearts to not only travel with us and to give all these people free medical aid, but they were like so happy and so willing to do it instead of just obligated, was just so amazing to see. We really couldn't have done anything without the doctors. We had about 3 general practice doctors that just helped with everyday diagnosis from chickenpox to cancer, and then we also had 2 dentists that could help with teeth cleanings, and they were pulling teeth. They actually even taught some of the people on our trip how to pull teeth, so they got to learn some things they would have never learned in nursing school. And then we also had an eye doctor who was able to help give people free eyeglasses so that they could actually just see on their day-to-day lives. And then we also had 2 church members that were with us. One of them was there to just teach people how to use the medicine they were getting, even if it was just ibuprofen. Many of them had never had that before. And so a medicine that's so simple to us, they had to be taught how to use it, how much to take, when to take it, what to actually use it for. So he was able to talk to every single patient we saw and just teach them what exactly the medicine they were getting and like how to effectively use it to better their lives. And then we also had a wonderful lady that spent the entire week just talking to people, sharing the gospel, praying for people, and she was such a rock. She did it so willingly and so like boldly. You could just see she was on fire for the Lord. I would love to be able to share their names with you, but for their privacy and safety, I will not be sharing any names. Our second day in Honduras, we actually had the pleasure of attending a church service there, and it was a really great service to be at. We actually had no idea what they were saying while we were there, but you could just see how on fire they were for the Lord. They were so happy and excited to praise the Lord, and they were just praising so loudly. Like, I will never forget that church service I got to go to. You get to see that we were on stage at one point. They were talking about us while we were on stage. Have no idea what they said. Hopefully it was good. I'm sure it was good. But we got to help lead them in a praise song, and so that was a lot of fun. And after the service, one of our translators actually handed us like notes that he wrote down the service notes and then translated them into English for us. So some of us actually did get to finally understand what they were talking about, and so that was really cool. And just again, seeing how the Lord is like giving us these people in during the trip that will not only make the trip run smoothly, but also help us feel welcomed and not completely lost. It was so amazing. And then right after the church service ended, we actually drove to a summer camp we were staying at in a town called Pinalejo. That was where we were going to be set up with our base camp. And then from that camp, we would go to different villages and do different clinical days. And it was a beautiful summer camp that is actually a Christian summer camp. So the people that owned the camp were also Christians. So that was just such a blessing that not only would we have someone willing to give up their space for us for the week, but it was someone who also followed Christ. So yeah, and every morning before breakfast, we got to have a devotional time with everyone on the team. And it was just a great way to not only prepare our hearts and our minds and our spirits for the day, but to remember why we were there in the first place. Yes, we are there to give medical aid, but we're also there to help people see the love of Christ through giving them aid. We may not have been able to share the gospel with them directly, but just by sharing them love and kindness and by them knowing we were Christians, we were sharing the love of Christ indirectly. And so just taking that time to remember that before the beginning of the day, to reset our hearts and just kind of rejuvenate our spirits as we headed out was such a blessing to have. Everything on this trip was such a blessing. And so yeah, the first night we were in Pinalejo, we were setting up right away. We had a lot of work to do, and you could see us organizing all of the medications we were going to be using for the week. It was a hectic time because all the medication bottles were written in Spanish, and so that was interesting. And they also just came in these giant totes because all of the medications we had were actually donated or bought with donated funds. And so it was a very strange mix of medications at times. And we also only had one person that actually understood the medications in Spanish. And so working with her to try to figure out, like, what exactly is this? Where does this go? It was a bit of a trial. But after a while and after a lot of hard work, we were able to get a groove going and set up all of the medications we were using for the week. A lot of it included ibuprofen, acetaminophen, Tylenol, iron supplements, and parasite medications, because a lot of people in Honduras have iron deficiencies and they never get parasite medication. And so every single patient we had received parasite medication, and a lot of them also got iron supplements. Our clinics were actually in four different villages over the course of 5 days. And our first clinic was actually in a small community center and daycare. And so we set up right away, and we kind of had a few bumps along the way. We were trying to figure out what system worked best. We had two people that were working at checking the patients in, and then we had a triage center where we were just like, what are you here for today? And then after that, they had a waiting area, and that was when the doctors would call them over and come see them. And then after that, they had to wait some more because we had to fill prescriptions, or they had to go to the dentist and the eye doctor and get that stuff done. And so we saw a lot of patients throughout the course of the week, but the best part about it was they were there for a long time. So we got to interact with them for an extended period of time, which meant our lady that was working at spreading the gospel was able to talk to them for long periods of time. And I got to see her praying with many individuals, which was just so encouraging because I had no idea if they were saved or not, but they were getting prayer and they were getting shown the love of Christ. Throughout the entire day, we saw people with health problems they'd had for years. but they just had no idea what it was. And that was so heartbreaking to see, because we would see people with just so many heartbreaking cases, and they just hadn't had any help before because they couldn't pay for effective health care. So just be praying for the people in Honduras, because especially in like the remote mountain villages, they just don't really get health care. They get just a lot of people in the village that have homemade remedies, and some people need more than homemade remedies. And so just pray that more teams would be willing to go out throughout the year and just provide that support and care. It is very important for medical teams to be willing to provide free healthcare, which can be very hard to do because healthcare is expensive. And so just pray for that the Lord would provide the people and the funds to continue sending this Honduras trip. Some of our best interactions were actually with the kids. The kids were so loving and excited to see us. They would just run up and hug you right away. They actually helped us like take stuff back to the bus. Like they would grab the boxes from our hands and help load up the bus at the end of the day. And we were able to hand out stickers to them. And actually, we handed out so many stickers on the first day, we had to like ration them for the rest of the week because we had like 2 pages left. But they also got to hear their own heartbeats for the first time, which was just so heartwarming. Something so simple as using a toy stethoscope when you're little and hearing your heartbeat is just not something you really think about. But they were able to actually like use our stethoscopes and hear what their own heart sounded like, and then they would go around and like listen to their friends' hearts, and it was just so heartwarming to see, because this was their first interaction with people from a different country and with people that were like medical students. And so they were so excited and so ready to be with us. I actually had one little girl that would help me figure out like different people's needs. She just stood with me the whole day. She was like 5, and she was helping me be a nurse. It was amazing to see. And then the next couple days, we were actually based in 2 different schools in different villages. These schools had a lot of students that just, there was no nurse at the school, so if they were hurt or sick, they just had to miss school. And so we actually had a lot of like chickenpox cases, flu, stuff like that. But their parents were also able to come and get help. One of the most beautiful things I've ever experienced in my entire life, you can actually see in the pictures behind us, our waiting area was like in direct sunlight, and it was the hottest day of the week. It was about 90 degrees outside with like 70% humidity. It was not for the week. And all these ladies had these umbrellas that they were using as shade. And then when we started going out there and taking their vitals, they actually started to put their umbrellas over us instead, which they did not need to do, but they just, out of the kindness of their hearts, decided to provide us shade while they were the ones that were sitting outside in the endless sun. And so that just also showed like just how much happiness and kindness they have down there. They were taking what they had and serving us while we were serving them. And so seeing how the Lord works through that was just so amazing. And I would definitely be praying for these schools because they are underfunded and under-equipped. A lot of them, the students had to carry their desks and chairs to each individual class because they didn't have enough desks and chairs to go around. Their bathrooms had no running water, and so they weren't able to flush their toilets, wash their hands, anything like that. So basic hygiene is just not really there, and so infection can spread so highly in these schools. And so just pray for the schools that they would get better equipment, because education is how those children go somewhere in the world, because the only way to escape poverty is to get a better job, and to get a better job, you need an education. You need to be able to read and write, and some of those children just can't get that there. So just be praying for that. We were able to actually hang out with some of the kids, and you can see my great friend Hannah playing, I think she was supposed to be playing soccer, but she turned it into basketball with the kids. And so we were able to not only give people aid medically, but also we were able to be there for the kids. Like, they were having a hard time, and we were able to like play with them, hang out with them, bring them joy. We would make keychains with them, we would color with them. And that just helped the day go by quicker, because a lot of those kids were there with their parents and the blazing sun. And I know parents out there know that when their kids are in the heat for a long time, they just get kind of cranky. So just being able to take the time to bring joy to the kids' days while they were sitting there was really good, because it just helped the parents also feel more at ease. And then the last 2 days, we actually spent at a church that was in a community. And this was a really cool experience because these days we've had a bit of a slower attendance, and so we were actually able to sit down with like our translators and our doctors and different people of the community and actually have conversations with them that were more than what brings you here today, okay, you can go to the waiting area. It was really great to be able to have that time because then we could share our testimonies with each other, we could pray for each other, and it was just a time where we were able to really sit down and breathe and just see how the Lord has worked, because all these people really didn't know each other to begin with. None of the team members really knew each other, and we became like one giant family during this week. So being able to not only get closer to them, but also make like lifelong relationships was really important. So that was such a blessing. We worked closely with the doctors even through a language barrier. I got to get to know the eye doctor a lot because his daughter has the same name as me, and so whenever I saw him, he'd get really excited and start talking about his daughter, and so that was such a heartwarming thing to see. We worked with over 600 patients while we were in Honduras, and so over 600 people received medical, dental, and optical aid while they were there. And each person received parasite medication, so they were prevented from getting that parasite through the water that they were drinking. And so it was a hard week with a lot of ups and downs, but through that, the Lord showed that He is in control. You can only trust in Him and not in your own plans. He will bring aid when you need it. He will provide no matter what. And that it also just showed that there needs to be more outreach in the world, even if it's just going for a week and providing some aid or relief. So I would highly encourage you to take any opportunity you can, whether that's donating money to funds or going yourself. It is a very important field to go into, just bringing aid and relief to people while also sharing the love and the gospel of Christ. I do hope to go back next year if the Lord allows. A lot of the people there were like, you need to like live here now. And so our team is hoping to go back next year. Even the people that are graduating are hoping to help lead the trip next year. And so just be praying for guidance and wisdom for us and for safety for all of the people we worked with in Honduras. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, then we're just going to go. Okay. This March, Andrew and I went to London to go on a trip with Cedarville Global Outreach. So, okay. So the what and why of our trips. So we were doing a college evangelism trip at 6 different universities in London. So we just went to those universities and we shared the gospel with the students there, which was definitely out of a lot of people on that trip. So I was out of a lot of our comfort zones just to start conversations with random people about random things, but it definitely was a big opportunity for growth. And why we did this trip, because the gospel is needed everywhere. It's not just faraway countries or third world countries. People need the gospel in places like London, and so that is a big part of this trip. And we were able to have 312 spiritual conversations throughout the week with 178 gospel presentations. And so that was pretty cool Monday through Thursday when we were on the college campuses. And then also, London is a very diverse area, especially in their campuses. Lots of people from different countries want to send their kids to London to go to university because there's some pretty good universities there. And so we were able to reach 57 nations while we were there, which was pretty cool. You can see up there our campus team, our whole team. There's probably like 35 to 40 of us. And then also that on the other side is my campus team. We went to UCL, which is University College of London, and that's pretty much like an Ivy League school in London. So we were talking to some pretty smart people, which was a little intimidating. You can just go to the next slide because it's not on here. Okay, so evangelism. On this trip, I learned a lot of lessons about evangelism. One of the biggest ones was that evangelism is 75% listening. If you want someone to listen to what you have to say when you share the gospel, you have to show that you can listen to them and hear what they have to say. So a lot of our conversations started out with a lot of questions and just trying to connect with them, because when they feel like you're listening to them, they're so much more likely to want to engage and hear what you have to say. So that was one of the biggest lessons I learned. I also learned that we're faithful servants of the Lord, but we personally can't save others. It's very difficult to have conversations with people and share the gospel and then just have them be like, okay, I don't really care. Like, that's cool. That's what you believe. But that is honestly a lot of what we got. And so it's just important to remember that we're to faithfully serve the Lord in all we do. And then it honestly is up to the Lord to change people's hearts. That's not something that we can do. So that's a big lesson that I learned, kind of like what those verses say up there. And the second verse in Ephesians was just a reminder that salvation is by Christ alone through faith alone. That was a big thing to hit on this trip. It's not by anything that you do or any works, because that's what a lot of people there believe, is by Christ alone. So those are some of the biggest lessons I learned. If you want to go to the next slide. These are just some resources. I would recommend you take a picture of this slide. These are lots of apps that you can get on your phone that just give you ways to share the gospel. So the first one is Life on Mission, and it just gives you several different tools to share the gospel with someone just on your phone. And it's really helpful. Perspective cards gives you an opportunity to ask people questions and to get a gauge on what they believe. And God Tools also does that. And Solarium is what I use mostly there. It's a picture survey. And you actually can order this off Amazon. And it's probably like 50 different pictures. And you just ask people questions to, and they pick pictures that correspond with their answers. So you can ask them questions like, if you believe in God, what do you think? What pictures do you think represent him? Or if you don't believe in God, what would you want him to look like? And it just gives you a good way to gauge what other people think about God or spirituality in general. And then the last one is Unreached of the Day. And that's an app that gives you a different unreached people group every day that you can be praying for and just give you some facts about them. So those were some cool resources that I was given on this trip. So yeah, I would definitely recommend that you look into those because they're very helpful.
If you would go to the next slide. So whenever we arrived in London, one of the big things that we did was on that Sunday is our big team of 40 people split up into three separate groups, and we were able to go to some churches that were in the city. My personal campus group and just a couple of the others, we went to a church called All Souls. And what was really interesting about that was to be able to see that the same God that I am worshiping here in West Liberty, Ohio, Greenville, Ohio occasionally, is the same God that people are worshiping in London whenever they go to those churches. And just to see that God knows no boundaries was just very encouraging. It was just also funny to hear how they pronounce some of the words in some of the songs. We sang What a Beautiful Name, and I definitely was a little offbeat because of how they pronounce certain ones. So a little off on there, but we were able to have a really good time to be able to just see that aspect of worship and to be able to just really enjoy that. But before we went on to the campuses every single day, we would meet in the bottom of a church that was called Houston, and we would have all-team training to be able to debrief what happened the day before, to be able to have updates on what we'd be going out and talking to people about, and to just give some more tips like Aaron was talking about with those tools at the very end. If you need any help sharing the gospel, I would highly recommend that Solarium card game. I don't know what it is. I've forgot that name so many times during the trip. But I will say that that is an extremely good tool to just be able to have conversations going. And it allows for you to talk about the gospel and to just talk about other aspects of people's lives that you can call back upon to show that you were truly listening. And it is just a really good and non-awkward way to be able to just integrate the gospel and talk to other people. So I would really recommend that if you need help with that. But we were able to have those campus meetings where we were able to be trained to go out into the universities and to be able to just talk about some of the difficulties that we had. As what Aaron talked about was a very common occurrence, is that we would go and talk to other people on the campuses and they would just be like, oh, that's great for you. I'm really happy, right? Like, but being able to share those discouragements with other people of the team allowed us to keep our mission focused on what we were trying to do and to not be discouraged and to go, oh, well, then what's the point if no one's going to be listening anyways? But if you'd go to the next slide, please. So the campus team that I was with was on the right. We called ourselves the Bruvs and Loves. That was just a fun little name we gave ourselves. But we went to a campus called City University, and City University was a mostly Muslim population. Majority of the students were Muslim, and so one of the two biggest things that I found that they had the biggest difficulty with believing when it came to Christianity was, I'll go with three. The Bible contradicts itself. there's no way that the Trinity is a real thing. How is God three in one? And why was God weak enough to die? Right? Those were the three big issues that came across with a lot of people. But we were able to have quite a few conversations there. A lot of the people who were of the Muslim religion, just even whenever you explained those things to them, they didn't really care, as they were, a lot of them were either not serious about their faith in the sense that they wanted to have that and to be able to change it or to kind of look deeper into it, or they just were like, yeah, I'm very happy with Allah. Allah does this, yada, yada, right? But we were able to, I want to share a really encouraging conversation that my friend Hannah and I were able to have with someone. We were just going around walking and talking to people on campus that day, and we were able to just find this one girl. She was sitting by herself, and so we went up and started talking to her. And then her friend Alex came by, and we all started talking. And they said, oh, yeah, well, we got class in 5 minutes, so we're going to have to go. And so Hannah and I were talking about Christianity and why we were on the trip in the first place to be able to share. And then Alex was like, really? You guys are doing this? Well, you guys both probably grew up in the church, right? And I was like, no, I didn't really come to Christ until I was 17. And I was like, oh, tell me about it. So just from that interaction, we were able to share the gospel with Neil and Alex. And then the next day, Alex had given me his WhatsApp, and so we had talked to him about that, and Hannah and I went and met Alex, and then this friend that he just brought along, who we didn't even know he was bringing, his name was Julian, and we were able to sit at a Chipotle, of all places, and just talk for 3 hours, answering a ton of questions about God, the Bible, and just everything. And that was probably like the highlight of the trip for me, to be able to share that. And if you would go on to the next slide, please. So one of the couple of the biggest takeaways that I had was going into this trip, I was scared in a selfish way that I was going to be the reason that someone didn't come to Christ, right? I was scared that I wasn't going to present the gospel well enough to be able to, you know, convince people, or that I wouldn't be able to just, you know, argue my way through it, or to be able to just present God fully enough. And so what Aaron was talking about with that aspect of coming to the terms of, you know, you are not the one who changes people. What you do is you are faithful already by obeying and going and telling people, and God does the rest. And so that was one of the biggest things, is that talking about that provision and the security in that, and just being able to see how God was able to provide just every aspect of this trip for each and every member, that we were just all very grateful to be there and to be able to share. Thank you.
Good evening. I had the blessing of once again going to Costa Rica with these young people and several others from Calvary Christian. We are missing Tammy tonight. She is still in Utah with her son Seth, and so we're missing her very much. But we had a team of a total of 25 of us went. There were 20 students, one alumni, and four adults. And I think that's correct, right? And we went back to the church that we went to last year in Las Palmitas, Sarapiquí, Costa Rica. So we were in the rainforest of Costa Rica. One thing I want to say is it was so sweet to get to see some of the same people. We got to see one of our translators from last year. She was our team leader this year. And we got to see Pastor Donald and his wife, Elena. And one thing I want to mention is last year when we left, Pastor was so encouraging us to come back that he said if we said we would come back, if we were to come back, that he would build two new showers for us so that we would have additional showers if we brought a larger team, and it would just help with all that. And when we arrived this year, he was so excited to show us what he had done. And he took me with his wife Elena and showed us the showers. He hadn't built two new showers. He had totally taken out his family's garden. And he had built four new showers and four new toilets for our team to come back. And so this is a picture. This is where his garden was last year. And there are two girls' showers and toilets and two boys' showers and toilets. And it was just that reminder that when we went last year, we were building relationships and we were investing in this community. And it was just really neat to see how they prepared for us to come back.
There's so many things that were so amazing to get to experience on this trip. But one of my favorite things that we got to do was just worship with the church there that we stayed at. And there were a couple different services that we took part in. But my highlight and what I thought was like one of the most impactful things of the entire trip was worshiping the night before we had to leave. Our whole group, we got to experience something that was so supernatural. We experienced the Holy Spirit's presence in a very special way through their worship. I think the way they were living was allowing them to be so connected with the Spirit. And that was really impactful to me because I was thinking of just how much I had, how much extra I had. And I was reminded that none of that stuff matters. And like through the worship, I think that it was just so, so special for us to get to experience that.
So basically we went to the school and we told them the story of Jonah, and we did a puppet show for them, and we also sang songs to them in their own language, and we also got to play soccer with them and other games like frisbee and jump rope. What it meant for me to go on the trip, it meant to see my old friends again, but also to get to experience sharing the gospel with younger kids and getting to see the joy on their faces.
Okay, so most of you know, there's a very small amount of people on the trip that could actually speak Spanish. So when we got there, it was very intimidating, even in the airport, because I had no clue what anybody was saying. I'm going to be, like, really honest. And we got to the church, and all the people from last year, they were just, like, reuniting with their old friends, and it was also really intimidating because I didn't know anybody. But then there was an older lady, and she has vocal cancer, so she talks very quietly, and she also speaks Spanish, so I still didn't know what she was saying. But she just came up to us, and she would just grab you, and she'd kiss you on the cheek. She'd say a bunch of stuff, and then, I don't know, she was just really, you could tell how much God had worked in her life. And then Sunday, the day after we got there, there was a girl, and one of my friends, Katie, had decided she wanted to go up and talk to her after the service and even before. And she spoke Spanish, but Katie knows a little bit, so she was, like, figuring out her way to talk to her. And that night, I was really scared, but I still went up and talked to her, too. I made a really good friend. It's the girl in the red shirt and the black shirt, and her name's Brittany, so if you guys can pray for her, because she also comes from a very difficult family. And then, never mind. Okay, and then, so at the end of the week, we, even the people from the church that had just come, like the Wednesday night, or even just the Sunday night, we still got really close to them, even though we saw them only like once a week, the entire week. But we made some really good relationships down there.
Another ministry that we got to carry out in Costa Rica was food distribution. The food distribution ministry is something that's so impactful for both them and us because it allows us to connect one-on-one with these people. Basically, we just delivered food to locals near the church that we stayed at. We would go in and we would just talk to them. We would learn a bit about them and kind of about their situation. And something that I noticed was they were so willing to share. We learned so many personal struggles that they had, and how to pray for that. So we would talk to them, and we would learn about them, and then we would pray for them. And then afterwards, we would bring them the food. And it was kind of like, for them, they were so happy that we were there. And then all of a sudden, they were surprised with a bag of, like, essentials. And they were just, like, overwhelmed. And it was crazy. I remember there was one lady we got to visit. We got to visit her home. We're walking to her home in that top left picture, I think, maybe. But her name was Anna, and she was dealing with so many things like if we were just dealing with one of them, it would just take us out of everything. And to see, like, her faith and her joy through all of that was, like, it was so cool. And we then brought in her food, and she gave each and every one of us a hug and said, "God bless you." And it was awesome. It was so impactful. And yeah, we learned that they were so generous even through their tough circumstances. So
we also helped with construction. I think I helped 2 days, and we had different teams that would do one day and one the other day. And so we helped with, like, digging, like, a trench. Was it for a driveway for them to put? Or septic? Okay. So we let... there's a trench up there on the left. And then we also moved a huge pile of dirt, which was crazy. We'd take wheelbarrows and then put it all the way on the other side of the church. And it was fun. It was really hard work. But I had a lot of fun doing that. And then we went to a lake nearby to collect big stones that they were going to make gravel out of. And so they just drove a huge tractor into the lake, and I was kind of surprised. And it had, like, a huge trailer, and then they just, like, start loading up. And so we all got in there. Some people had shoes on, but I don't know. I think Luke didn't have shoes, and I felt bad for all those people because that would have hurt really bad. But we were all slipping, trying not to fall and everything. I fell once or twice, but but it was just crazy to see all, like, the work they do. It was really fun to get to help with all of that. And it just really impacted me to be able to help with that kind of stuff. And I think the whole trip just really impacted my faith, and I'm really glad I got to go on it.
So I get to talk about the sports ministry. So this is kind of the part that I looked forward to the most, because I like playing soccer, and the Nationals there are obsessed with playing soccer. So it was, like, a good mix. But the problem is that they were so much better than us at it. So we kind of just got destroyed every time we played them. But something that stuck out to me this year was kind of just how the joy of the Lord builds relationships. Like, you can go there and you can talk as much Spanish as you want, but if you don't have the joy of the Lord and, like, have faith in your relationship with Him, you're not going to build those strong relationships that connect for a lifetime. And we built so many of those this year. There was this little boy, he's not up there on the screen, but his name was Justin. That's how they said it. I think it's Justin, but they call him Justin or whatever it is. But he was just this little tiny kid, and he was just always around the church, whistling, singing. And we just made, like, all of us boys, we just made really good friends with Houston, Justin, whatever it is. Oh, my gosh. And that all just came because we shared the joy of the Lord with him, and he had the joy of the Lord. He made us laugh so many times, but yeah, he was really into soccer and stuff, but it's just cool how we can unite over this love for soccer. And we also brought a basketball, like a mini basketball hoop, so we got to share that with them too. But it was really cool how the joy of the Lord could just connect us.
All right, so we have so many more things we could say. We don't have the time tonight. So I would really encourage you, if you want to hear more, if you want to see more pictures, I'm sure they all have pictures on their phones, to just reach out to somebody and ask questions, because we had so many different ways we served with VBS and the food distribution and construction and the sports ministry, that we could tell you just all different things that happened. But it was also just pouring into this community and how much they pour into us. And so I want to thank you all. I'm just quickly going through some pictures. But I want to thank you all so much for the support that you gave us financially and for praying. I want to ask you to please continue to pray for Pastor Donald and his wife Elena and their family and the ministry they have in this community in Las Palmitas. They have such an outreach there. They are preaching the gospel to the community, but they're also the hands and feet. And they have so many opportunities and so many ways they reach out. And so just please pray for them to have strength in their ministry, for them to have the resources they need to complete their ministry, and just lift them up in prayers. They hold a very special place in our heart. I want to also thank Tammy for all the work she did in putting this together. And please pray about next year and what God's plans are for us for next year, because we would love to go back. We definitely left a piece of our heart there, and they most definitely had an impact on us. So thank you all so much.
Hi there. My name is Cody McMullen. If you guys didn't know who I was before, and now you know I'm the only guy here who thought the service started at 7 instead of 6. And for that, I apologize. but I was privileged to be given an opportunity to speak on my trip I took to Cuba with some Cedarville students, some Bowling Green students, and then a church in Findlay, Ohio, I'm pretty sure, in March. This is my first look at Cuba. This was my first time in Cuba, and in fact, this is my first time on a missions trip, so I was just taking it all in. Essentially, when we were going to Cuba, we had three main objectives. One of those objectives was to teach church leaders and pastors the Old Testament minor prophets. The reason why we were focusing on teaching pastors and church leaders is because Cuba is a communist government, so they see religion as like a really big threat to like their whole infrastructure. So they don't really recognize churches, and if they get wind of a church having members of like 30 or more, they'll send soldiers over, and then it just gets really messy. So what the Cubans decided to do is they have a bunch of house churches with like 25, 26, maybe 27 members around. So technically they can't get any legal trouble. But because of that, they need a lot of trained people, and they don't have seminary over in Cuba. So that's kind of where we came into play. So that was one objective. Our second objective, we were in the Havana area, and we were going out to different districts during the mornings, and we were doing street evangelism and visiting local home churches and praying for the members. Every district had a pastor of a home church that would show us around the area. My pastor was Pastor Junti. He was hilarious. He was very well known across his district. Everybody knew him. I think he had some. He was known as a troublemaker back in the day, but you know, sanctification is a crazy thing, and now he's a church pastor, and I can definitely attest to sanctification. And then my third objective was to come back to those same areas that we were at in the morning during the evening, and we'd run a VBS service for the kids. That was personally one of my favorite parts because they love playing the games. We did Red Rover, we did freeze tag, we played a lot of soccer, and like Daniel said, they were really good. I didn't stand a chance. This was our main church that we met in. And because of the level of strictness that the Cuban government has, I wish I could show more pictures, but in case they get traced back to anybody, these pictures would just be mainly of just areas or just people. But this is where we met as the trip members. This is where we ate all meals together. This is where the pastors and church leaders that were being trained met. Once again, focusing on the minor prophets. And this is also where we would all sing and worship if the weather wasn't great. And those are some of my favorite times as well. Some of the other Cubans would come join us for worship. I don't know much Spanish, so they were constantly requesting Spanish songs, and I can't sing well either, so that was kind of a great mix. They didn't have to hear me sing, but we could still worship together. What I learned over in Cuba is that the body's everywhere. Andrew, you mentioned earlier that we're not separated by national borders or language barriers. Something that really stuck out to me was when I was over there, of course, I was really excited to meet fellow believers, right? Because this is my first missions trip. I never really met anybody who was Christian, like, that wasn't American. But these Cubans, they took my excitement and they ran with it tenfold. They were so excited to see us, to meet us, to greet us. And I was taken aback. And it really hit me that I have nothing in common with these people, right? Like, we come from completely different backgrounds. We don't even speak the same language. I don't understand what they're saying. But they recognized that I was a brother in Christ, and that was enough reason to celebrate. That was enough reason to sing, dance, and give praise. And that was probably my biggest takeaway from the trip. And as I look around here now, I want to replicate that same joy they had, because everybody here, guys, we're saved. We were made righteous. We can call ourselves brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. And that's really beautiful. These people were so kind, generous, and joyful, even though they did not have nearly as much materialistic things. We received so much encouragement from the locals. I was privileged to meet, I think she was 96, this 96-year-old woman who was a believer since she was a little girl. And she prayed for us and encouraged us because she was so encouraged by the constant arrival of missionaries in Cuba. She knows how desperately the people in Cuba need the gospel. And she prayed over us and encouraged us to keep coming back and to keep sharing the gospel. Don't be discouraged, because she's seen personally how it's affected her life, her family's life, and her friends' lives. It was painfully obvious that the people in Cuba need the gospel. And so with that, I just have some prayer requests. Please pray for the continued hunger of the Word of God among the people in Cuba. With the conversations I had, it was very apparent that they're desperate for something over there. Just the conversations that I've had, they were constantly wanting to ask questions, and thankfully my translator was there to save me because I don't speak any Spanish. And then also please pray for our current pastors and church leaders, because I can't imagine how stressful it is to try and lead a church with limited training. And they're trying their best, and they're under constant persecution and, you know, just scrutiny from the government. And with that, please pray for the current church members of Cuba and the future church members of Cuba. And then finally for the children in Cuba. They're so much fun to play with and to interact with. And they all started calling me Peluche for some reason. I didn't speak Spanish, so once I got back home, I Google translated it, and it means teddy bear. So I don't know why. I think it might have been the hair or something. but those VBS programs, in the church itself even, were like their safe havens. It was a good opportunity for them to get away from whatever strife that they were currently dealing with. So please pray for the children in Cuba. Thank you.
Thank you, Coda. Better late than never, you know? Just kidding. Just kidding. Thank you all for sharing all the great news and great lessons you learned on those trips to very different places of the world, all over the map, and that's just so encouraging to hear. A lot of these trips were through Cedarville or Cedarville-related things. Obviously, a lot of students were going here in these trips. But we just wanted to on this missions night make known to you some of the upcoming trips that we as a church are actually sending people to go on here in the next few months. First of all, we have a trip to Brazil that I believe the Youngs are going on to go meet with, encourage Erin Warrow and all the work that she's doing down there in Brazil. And so just be praying for them as they prepare to go on that trip. And I don't know exactly what month is it, Matt. What month are you guys going?
June 9th through the 20th.
June 9th through the 20th. So you guys can be praying June 9th through the 20th. They are going to Brazil. And Jeff Schurter as well, yes. Thank you for reminding me. We also have a team that is many in number that I hear is going to the Mexican Indian Training Center. Mike Eckstein usually takes a crew down, whoever is daring to go with him to MITC down there in Mexico. Being about the work of training pastors to be down there in Mexico to plant churches, to lead churches, and just pray for them as they go into back part of July, right, Mike? And July 12th through the 19th. And so you'd be in prayer for them in the end of July as they travel down. We also have, as we do every year, the opportunity to host students, international students from Purdue University. We do this every year, if you aren't familiar, but there's a great ministry that we partner with over there. Dana Gottfried brings in a host of international students who are wanting just to see what life is like in little old Ohio. And we have a great opportunity to share the gospel in this building and in your own homes with these students who are from all over the world. And sometimes you have to go all over the world to see those people, but this time they're coming here, and we have an opportunity there. And so please prayerfully consider opening your homes to some of these students. You have some extra bedrooms, or you can make your kids sleep on the floor in the living room or something and give them your beds. But that's also just a great, great time. I look forward to that every year. Finally, I just want to take the opportunity on missions tonight just to reiterate that missions is the responsibility of the church. Missions is the work of God to make and to redeem a people for himself. And he has given that responsibility of making Christ's name known among all the nations, not to anyone else, not to individuals, but to the corporate church. And so I'm just so thankful that we have people in our own body who are zealous for that. And I pray that we all, as a church body, would be zealous for that work. We'd prayerfully consider doing it ourselves and being involved. And I just wanted to share with you just three small ways that we can be involved in the work of missions right here in our own body. The first one is just to encourage missionaries and encourage those who are looking to be missionaries. So we have a list of missionaries that we support out on the wall here. We have the missionary of the month now in your bulletins and on the screens. And I just encourage you to consider writing a note to them or consider trying to find a missions committee member and ask them if they could try to send a message to them, an email or a text, or we can even provide that information for you. Have words of grace given to them to encourage them as they minister overseas. But also encourage those among our body who are looking to be missionaries as well. Constantly check in and see how they're doing. Part of that is just serving and being faithful in the local church, discipling and being discipled. And as you disciple others, God will call people to the mission field. And as you are discipled, you may even find yourself called to go to the mission field. Second, I would just say to give. Prayerfully consider giving money to missions. And whether that is a part of what you're already doing as a practice, or maybe you are burdened to give more to the task of missions, it's a desperate need. And third, and what we're about to do, is to pray. We have prayer requests every time. Cody just shared some. And every time we have a missions moments or a missionary of the month, we have prayer requests there. So I would ask that you just continually be in prayer for our missionaries and also for our body, that we would be about the work of missions. But with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and close out our night. And Bryce will come up and lead us in a song, and then you'll be dismissed. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we've had to come together and to hear all the wonderful things that you allowed Coda and Abby and Aaron and Andrew, the LaCrone clan, the Gartner clan, and Daniel to experience on their trips to Cuba and Honduras and London and Costa Rica. Father, we thank you for the great gift it was to them and to the people to whom they ministered. Father, we ask today that we would not let the joy that we have concerning the spreading of your gospel to the world to die tonight. But Father, that we would continue on with a deepened desire to make your name known. Father, I pray that that would be the heartbeat of our church. Lord, that it would be the desire of all in our body. And that you would, if it be your will, by your grace, raise up from this church people who are ready to go and to stay and to minister faithfully among a people group who do not know you. Father, I pray tonight for the trips that are upcoming in our own body. I think of Ellie Young as she is going to Southeast Asia here coming up soon in July. Father, I pray that you would protect her and that you would allow her to be strong, that she would depend upon you, and Lord, that she would boldly proclaim the gospel in all the areas that she will be in. Protect her, Lord, as she travels, as she is there, and let her be an encouragement to the believers there in Southeast Asia. Father, we also pray for Landon, as he is already there, and Lord, we ask that as he is there for the entirety of the summer, we ask that you would keep him safe. And as he trains pastors, as he teaches classes and preaches sermons, Father, we ask that you would give him boldness, that you would give him confidence in your word, that you would give him clarity of mind and thought, and Lord, that he would not be doing it on his own power or by his own strength or wisdom, but that, Lord, he would rest upon the powerful nature of your word. Father, we pray for the trip that is going to Brazil. God, we pray that the Youngs and Jeff Schurter might give needed encouragement to Erin Warrow as she ministers to those people, especially amidst the continual aftermath of the natural disasters that have happened in the last year. God, we pray for the trip that is going to MITC. Lord, we thank you so much for the great ministry that we are able to partner with in Mexico. And Father, we ask that you would help those going to, whether they need to be doing physical labor or spiritual labor, Lord, that you would give them the ability and the willingness to do so. And that the fruitfulness would not only come about in the people that are going, Lord, but that they would be able to provide and bear fruit for that ministry there. That, Lord, that you would make those pastors more mature, that you would bring those students up further into maturity in Christ because of the small work that they are doing in that place in that week. Father, we pray for our own church as the Purdue students are coming very soon on July 4th weekend. Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts and our minds just to be able to speak truth well to them, that we would be good examples of the gospel of Christ and how it works out in our lives. And Lord, that we would open our homes with hospitality to these students and be ready to conversate with them and listen to them, listen to their lives and their stories, and be ready to give the gospel where needed. Father, we just thank you once again so much for tonight, for this church, and for its commitment to the work of missions. And God, I pray that we would continue to do this while we are able. And Lord, we pray that you would keep us safe as we go back to our homes. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.